This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in today. A recent report named Wisconsin as the worst state for the welfare of black children. The N.E.E. Casey Foundation study, called Race of Results, Building a Path to Opportunity for All Children, ranked states according to 12 indicators that measured the well-being of children of all races across the country. While Wisconsin ranked 11th for white children, it came in last for African American youth. Though this particular finding was widely reported, UWM professor David Pate says there's a lot more to unpack in last month's report. So in our regular Real Talk with David Pate segment, we're going to look at the study's wider implications for children across the country and for other minority groups here in Wisconsin. Pate tells Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce more about what was measured.
What this study was doing is that N.E.E. Casey has been known for the last 25 years looking at the well-being of children nationally. What this report did that was different was it looked at what are the 12 indicators of success for children of color, being that we're going to be soon a nation of children of color and also a workforce of children of color in 2030. They thought it was important to start looking at a way for us to start planning how to deal with this change in our demographics and demography of who we are.
And of course, to begin that, we need to know where we stand.
Where do we stand, exactly?
So, in fact, what did the study show across the nation?
You know, it was interesting what the study showed across the nation because one thing it showed that, unfortunately, Wisconsin was the worst for African-American children in America in terms of the indicators that they presented. But also it showed that as a nation, we're not doing great across race for anyone, to be honest. I mean, of course, those who are white still maintain a place of good strength and well-being, but Asians are the ones who are coming out on top. If you looked at the numbers there, they also showed that there's a number of things that we could do in this study. And they also, for the first time, which is really unique, has presented information on American Indians. No one has really ever done that. And they were able to get 33 states to cooperatively give good information about how American Indians stand in our country.
Which were some of the indicators that you felt really surprised you in terms of how children of all races are doing?
Well, that's a really good place to start, too, Stephanie, because the one indicator, and I remember this with my own son, who has a slight, you know, learning issue, making sure he could read at the fourth grade reading level. And if he wasn't there, to make sure that we ensure through extra help that he got there rather quickly. That's the one clear indicator of success in the future. And what we found for those reading at the fourth grade reading level, only 14% of blacks in this country are at that level. That's looking at them as adults. For Latinos, it's 19%. For American Indians, it's 22%. And for whites, it's 45%. And for Asians, it's 51%. So if we look at that on the other side, though, there's still 49% of Asians who are not reading there. And if you look at it for whites, it's 55%. So, you know, you can all do the subtraction. But it's just interesting to say that of the indicators that is one of the clearest indication of success is your reading, is your ability to read. That's where we are not doing well as a country. And blacks are by far doing the worst in terms of their ability to read at a fourth grade reading level.
Now, the headlines here in Wisconsin obviously focused on the fact that Wisconsin ranked last among the reporting states for these various 12 indicators for the well-being of black children. What else did it show about the state of children in Wisconsin?
Well, we are pretty high up there in terms of the index being 1,000 being the perfect number. We come in 500, which is pretty good. We're right in the middle. We do very well. But also across the state, we're pretty good overall in terms of for whites across the country, we're number 11. For American Indians, we're number 12 out of 33 who provided data. For Latinos, we're number 17. So we're not doing that bad. But, of course, some of these indicators are not going to be a surprise to many of our audience listeners, but also to many people who do this work as a researcher. One, babies born at a normal birth rate. We're not doing well. Milwaukee has a major initiative to look at infant mortality. And so that was one of the indicators. And so, therefore, we've done very bad around live births as well as around children living up to their first year. The fourth grade reading level we've already talked about. Eighth graders who scored at or in proficiency in their math level, we're not doing well there. In terms of high school graduation rates, unfortunately for many black males, it's very low, in the 30%, but also for white males, it's not very good in Milwaukee. One of the other indicators is children who live in two-parent families. That's unfortunately not one of the indicators that's very strong for black children as well. So if you look at across all these 12 indicators, and I mentioned at least five of them just now, we have a lot of work to do around how do we make this so that these children have more resources and more access to wealth that's going to allow them to be able to be have better outcomes for the state.
I wonder if part of the reason why this ranking has really struck home in Wisconsin is because of the fact that it is predominantly white, and then to have a minority group like Black children rank so poorly. I mean, what does that indicate? What is that telling us about where we're putting our priorities and for whom?
Well, you know, it's such a complex and challenging answer. You know, Wisconsin is 88% white. We have 6% Black in the whole state. However, our outcomes are just bad. We've been slammed a lot this year. One, we have the highest incarceration rate, as we've been talking about, for Black males. And we also have the worst outcomes for Black children in the country. Something is going on here that we need to closely examine. There have been several people who have talked about this issue of Black children, from James Causey's provocative article that was in the Milwaukee Sentinel Journal in April that said, do we really care about Milwaukee kids, to the articles that I've seen in Madison. And I think that what everyone is saying, there hasn't been enough outcry or challenge to why aren't we doing better? I mean, this doesn't make any sense when we have one of the highest graduation rates in the country. At least 90% of students graduate in this state. However, for Black kids, we're not seeing that. For Latino kids, we're not seeing that. Is it because they don't work hard enough, or is it because they don't have the resources that is required for them to be successful in school?
We also earlier this year did an interview with Erica Nelson from the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families about the Race to Equity report, which kind of echoed a lot of these Annie E. Casey Foundation findings.
Yeah, and what they found in that report was specific to Dane County was that the poverty is so disparate. I mean, you look at the number of if you look at the rate or the percentage of those who are in poverty in Dane County, for Black kids, it's over 75%. And for white kids, it's under 10% or closer to 6%. So again, when you have that much poverty for a particular population, it indicates a lot of things are not going right. You know, there's not a lot of access to income. There's not a lot of access to wealth. There's not a lot of access to home ownership. So it makes things a little bit more difficult for you to be able to maintain your ability to succeed in school, to succeed in life, because you're just not exposed to all the same things that your counterpart has that makes their life a little bit better and a little bit easier.
Another surprising element of this report is that Wisconsin ranked 37th for children who are Asian or Pacific Islander. Why is that? I mean, what's going on there?
You know, the one thing about this population, this group of people, is that, again, there's a lot of subgroups of those who fall under this category, from Chinese, Japanese, Filipino, Korean, Hmong. And to be honest, I'm really impressed that we are that high, because we have a large Hmong population, and the Hmongs generally don't do as well. We generally collapse all Asians into one group, and we tend to think of them as all doing very well. But Hmongs have been the population of people who have had to struggle and have had some challenges in trying to do well. Again, the Asian population already had a very high number. The highest number for them was 914. We came in at 656. Which is not that bad, but still, it's pretty good for the population of people that we have that are primarily Hmong population.
The study identified several reasons for why certain groups of children might not be doing as well as other groups. But what do you see going on here, David? I mean, I think we've talked about a lot of these issues before, but when you look at these specific indicators, what's going on when it comes to Black children here? What's going on when it comes to Hmong children here?
I think the one thing that this report does that is really good, and I really would recommend those who are interested in looking into this further, read the report. They do a really good historical analysis of where people come from in terms of coming to America. You have certain things that you're guaranteed to as a citizen. For certain people, such as Blacks and for Hmongs, those always weren't guarantees. Or for Latinos, they were always wanting a guarantee. For example, access to an FHA loan or through the GI Bill was not a guarantee for everybody. But also unresourced schools. Some schools that kids go to, they don't have the right books. They don't have access to a computer or a laptop. They don't have access to paper and pencil, to be honest. Poor neighborhoods cause for a community effect on people's lives. So things that you just would think and take for granted, for example, things that you would take for granted, those things are not always available to people that we're seeing. And those are what the report highlights. And it's one of the first reports that really gives a historical analysis that you just don't see in many reports. And also this whole idea of putting it in the context of a structural analysis versus it being a behavioral analysis, saying that because you don't study hard enough, because you don't work hard enough. And what this report says is that despite working hard enough and studying hard enough, you still may not get those resources. So I think that's why this report is really good. And also, I would want people to really think about, in order for us to move forward, we have to know where we're at. You know, and it really applies here. When we're about to have a workforce in 2030 that's going to be predominantly people of color, if they're not prepared to take our country in a place where we are or to maintain where we are, that's not good for any of us. So I think it's important for us to understand that we need to have better schools. We need to have better housing. We need to have better access to wealth and resources that are going to make everybody better off. Because, again, as I've said in previous shows, as a community, we all want to profit from everybody doing well. And when one of us does poorly or a number of us does poorly, nobody's going to do good at all.
I'm just going to harken back to the title of our segment here, though. Real talk, David.
Yeah.
We've known that things haven't been good for black kids in this state for a while. So why do you think there's maybe this outcry now when we get a report like this that pretty much tells us what we already knew?
But I don't know, Stephanie. The outcry has not been from people who are the majority in Wisconsin. I have not heard our mayor. I haven't heard our governor. I haven't heard some people on my faculty even say this is horrible. Of course, if I bring it up, everyone will recognize it as not being a good thing. But the op-ed pieces have been by people of color. The news reporting that I've seen have been by people of color. And I don't know whether or not we all understand that it affects us. Of course, I'm going to be a little more upset because when I hear black children are affected, I have a black child, so it makes me nervous for my grandchildren, for my nieces, for my nephews, and all of them. But I haven't heard enough of an outcry from those who don't look like those who are doing the worst in the state. And I think that's part of the problem. We haven't taken ownership of saying we all are in this together and we need to really make a difference in that way. Because I think all of us are saying we want something to happen. We know the problems. They're only getting worse, but we need to make a difference. But I haven't heard enough on TV programs or anywhere where this has made major news.
So really what I hear you saying, David, is we don't yet have that public and maybe political will to really address these issues.
This should be a wake-up call to us, because what state wants to be known as the state that has the worst outcomes for any group of children? We always are saying children are the people that we really want to invest in and we want to put our money into. We need to have that wake-up call. And I think that this issue of consistent and caring adults in the children's lives is a big deal. You know, we keep focusing on two-parent families, but, you know, I know raising my own kids, I have 5, 6, 7 people taking care of my kids at any given time, from the basketball coach to the after-school person to my neighbor who picked up my kids because I couldn't get home from work in time or my wife was out of town. I think that we need to figure out how do we really take that to heart. Also, the whole idea that we need to know what works and we need to apply it. And really make sense of that. We've had a number of good programs in Milwaukee, for example, that were here and now are defunded, but have shown that it worked. From a pass-through for child support that was making it better for families to a number of federal initiatives that were here. Also, we need to identify what is not working and then really making sure we have a conversation that is involving all the key stakeholders to be sure that we may take hold of that. So I think there's a lot of things we can do from, again, early childhood education to universal high-quality pre-K and kindergarten. There's a number of studies that show if you do things for kids early on, it makes a major difference for how those kids are going to turn out in the end. So I guess not just providing child care, but make sure it's quality child care and quality services and quality education for these kids. So I would like to stop there because I think that some of this is a repeat of what I've said before, but I really do think I want to emphasize that we really need to work on making sure that we work with kids in the early stage. But I want to make sure I remind people that when you work with their kids, you need to work with those adults as well, because if those kids go home to parents who, again, are poorly educated or need resources, it's not going to help the kid in the end. It's only going to make a revolving door of problems and challenges in the future.
You talked about the idea of let's look at what's worked. I wonder if this study isn't a way for states maybe that ranked lower to look at what's going on in some of the higher ranking states and apply some of the strategies they're using there.
I totally agree with you. There's a number of states that are doing some good work, and I think that's why they're ranked so high, because they are doing some really good things. And we should look at what those states are and figure out what areas that we want to challenge. And just slice out a small part of it. We can't make it all happen overnight, and it's going to take a number of years to change this, because it took a number of years to get here. But we need to figure out what slice do we want to take and cut that and make sure we do a very aggressive and assertive way of attacking it.
Until that happens, until we do get the groundswell of people really concerned about this, what can we really do? I mean, what's the first step that this state needs to do to improve the well-being of Black children?
Well, this even goes to the show we did last month on looking at Department of Corrections and wanting to have access to data. Here's some data. People should look at it, analyze it, figure out what can they do in their community, what can they do with their congressperson, what can they do with their local alderperson to see where it could be better in their community, and say this is not good for us. They need to also figure out how they can target investment and resources. I think that's the job of our mayor, of our governor, of those in Congress. How can you target resources to a community such as a Milwaukee, such as a Madison, such as a Oconomowoc, I mean, such as a Lac des Flambeaux? I think they all need resources to have better outcomes. I think also we need to look at approaches that have proven to work in other states. If we haven't done it here, maybe we should think about trying some innovative ideas and getting those resources to do that. And also, we need to integrate economic inclusion strategies. When we don't see a group that's being represented on our workforces or in our programs, why aren't they there? And what we should be figuring out a way to include them in those economic strategies to make sure that we all are better off in the end.
Well, David Pate, thanks so much for coming in and giving us this analysis of the NEKC Foundation report.
Thank you again for inviting me.
David Pate is our Real Talk contributor, as well as an associate professor at the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare at UWM. He's also the founder of the Center for Family Policy and Practice, and he spoke with Stephanie Lecce.